Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Third hour, Darren Donica Chase on this Tuesday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Our NFL game of the week. This week will be the Packers and the Colts. How about that? Coverage begins at 3 p.m., kickoff at 3:25, and our game of the week is brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. Let's say hello to forever Titan wide receiver Dwayne Sanders is indeed on the line with us. Dwayne, what's up?
Man, how you doing, man? First of all, I just want to start this whole thing off. I do not like you. I mean, I just don't.
That's Dwayne. See, we want Dwayne. Angry Dwayne. We want angry Dwayne today.
He's upset, but actually he's in a good mood because, you know, I mean, we'll talk about it on Thursday, but he did do something special by picking an NFL game and getting 7 points, getting closer and closer to the victory.
Oh, I missed that one.
You didn't know that?
I missed that too.
I was going to text you, but I was asleep, though, so I couldn't do it.
I was going to say, unless I usually get the alert. Wait a minute. Who was the 7 point? Who was
Patriots.
The
Patriots over the Rams.
Oh, that's right.
Hey, and y'all laughed at me.
We did.
We did.
Remember those laughs?
We did.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you know what else? Chris Sanders is no longer in fourth place.
Who's in third? Who's in
fourth?
Would that be
Charles McCabe? Is he in last? Is Charles in last?
Yeah.
I won't say who's in last, but his name rhymes with race.
Wow.
Hey, long as you give it your all, that's all that matters.
Charles has been passed by Dwayne. Yikes. We're going to have fun on Thursday.
It's going to be on Thursday. You already know that.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't care. Chris, Dwayne, whoever you want to be, fun, happy, mad, angry. Let's go back to in your playing days you know, and I'm going to have to unfortunately bring up the Ravens game in the playoffs. And it was not a good day for Al Del Greco, as we know. I know. We love Al, but it was not a good day. What is that like as a player when your kicker who has one job, it's not a good day for, you know, him at the office? What is that feeling like? And it cost you a game.
I mean, it's tough, you know, when Al Del Greco missed, I think he missed one and then he got one blocked. But you can't get mad at the kicker because we shouldn't have put him in that position. I know that kind of sounds like coach talk, but that's exactly what it is. If you look at overall in that game, we played terrible. I mean, we had 400 and some yards. They had like 80 yards, but we had three turnovers. And when you have three turnovers against a good defense like that, they're gonna win, and that's exactly what happened with us. It wasn't just Al Del Greco's fault. It was my fault. I dropped passes. Ray Lewis gets a touchdown off a pick six. So those are the things that cost you games against a great team, and that's exactly what we're seeing against the Tennessee Titans now.
Okay, let's talk about the drop passes. So you just admitted you had some drop passes.
I did.
Okay, A.J. Brown is their number one receiver. He just is. A lot of people were starting to get really – and I get it. When he has those games and he looks fantastic, he has big games. You know, it starts up – is he elite receiver in the league? I say let's pump the brakes a little bit on that because elite receivers do it week in and week out, as you know. Easier said than done from somebody sitting on the couch like me. You're out there on Sundays. How difficult is it to do that week in and week out?
I mean, that's what separates guys from being good and being great. If you look at Jerry Rice, we never saw Jerry Rice drop balls. And we always talk about guys being in that elite status. And I think a little bit of pressure is getting on A.J. Brown because everybody's saying that. I mean, he's elite for the Tennessee Titans. Yes, he is. I mean, he makes plays. He's good run after the catch. But if you look at the team we played against, the Cincinnati Bengals, there's three receivers on the same team that have better stats than him.
Yeah.
So, and we got to put in that perspective. I think, and this is no disrespect, I just think in the last 5 or 6 years we haven't had that dominant, you know, number one wide receiver, and then we have A.J. Brown come out and make, you know, a couple of plays in the game. We're like, oh, hey, let's crown him. He's the best receiver to ever come in the league and all this stuff. Just let him play ball. Let him mature as an NFL wide receiver and don't put that pressure on that guy because if he starts having pressure, You're going to see missed passes. You're going to see missed assignments because the pressure is going to try to squeeze the life out of them.
Is it fair to say, since this franchise has been in this market, there's really never been an elite receiver?
Stop that, buddy. There's a guy named – no, I'm just kidding. I mean, it all depends on what you call elite. You know, for the Tennessee Titans, I think the best receiver to ever –
I mean, like DeAndre Hopkins. Chris,
oh, he's a
what
dog.
He did when he did on Sunday is what
incredible.
We've seen his whole career, right? I mean, I know not he doesn't just snag Hail Marys every week. But, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, everybody said – you say DeAndre Hopkins, elite. Everybody goes, yes.
Oh, no doubt.
Right? But that we haven't had – that type of guy here, Julio Jones in his prime,
right.
And Calvin Johnson. There's been no guy like that here. Is that fair to say?
Kind of. I think one guy I can probably say that, and he's one of my friends. I think it's Derek Mason.
Agreed, at least your team didn't ever treat him like he was elite.
Yeah, that's a good. I mean, because we had 2-7 toting the rock, you know, and it was just a different era right now.
Yeah.
Listen, we had some great receivers on our team. We had Kevin Dyson, we had Yancey Thigpen, we had myself, and the reason why we weren't considered elite is because we didn't put up the numbers because our offense was in a different era at that time where, you know, 27 is going to tote the rock and we're going to catch the ball once in a while. Look at the offenses that you have in the NFL right now. It's a passing league. I mean, when you have a guy from the Saints, I can't remember his name, the wide receiver, he's getting like
Michael Thomas.
He's getting like 12 targets a game.
Yeah.
I'm lucky to get 3.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So does that make me not an elite receiver? But when I came in the league, I was, and I'm not bragging, I'm not trying to toot my horn or anything, I was averaging 23.5 yards a catch, and I led the league, but I only had 35 catches and 8-9 touchdowns. So does that make me elite or it doesn't? But I'm making plays. So it all depends on are you elite for your team, and that's what A.J. Brown is.
So what you just told us is you would love to play in today's game.
What? Me and Kevin Dyson talk about this all the time. Okay, say this. Say if you had bad hands. I mean, you catch the ball with your elbows. Just imagine that. just imagine that. If you get 12 targets and you catch 5 a game, I mean.
That's 80 catches.
80 catches.
Yeah.
I mean, there's games where I would get maybe 3 targets a game. I bet I'm going to catch 2, but that's not going to add up to the numbers. So does that make me not a great receiver? Now you got A.J. Brown coming in, and he came in like gangbusters, and he got 1,000 yards. But there's a lot of receivers in the league that get 1,000 yards. When you start getting up to the 14 and 1,500 yards, then now you become elite, and that's the Hopkins and the guys that we're talking about.
Yeah, just to show you how difficult it is, and DK Metcalf is another guy, right? Everybody's been like, oh, DK Metcalf, oh, my gosh. Yeah. And what did Jalen Ramsey do to him last week?
Shut him down. Yeah. You know, it's being – let me just coach you guys up a little bit. You guys know this.
Coach us up, Chris.
Let's talk about what is it – what does
– we're coachable, Chris.
What does an elite receiver look like? An elite receiver is a guy who does it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday. And he goes in there and he makes plays at the clutch moments. A.J. Brown has made some plays, but has he made a lot of plays in clutch moments? Look at DeAndre Hopkins, just like what you talked about, make plays in clutch moments. Who else a receiver? Derek Mason. I can say Derek Mason. He will make plays in clutch moments. That's an elite receiver to me, is a guy who, when the game is on the line, when I have to make a play, I'm going to make a play. That's elite to me, not just numbers.
Chris Sanders is with us. We're talking a little wide receiver shop here, which is good stuff. Just to illustrate your point, Chris, DeAndre Hopkins on the target, right? He's been targeted 88 times. He's always among the tops, and it's like the two go hand in hand. It's like the better you are, the more they are going to throw to you, but he does get a high volume of passes thrown his way, and he does a lot with it. A.J. Brown's been targeted only 52 times.
Right.
Of course, he did miss. Did he miss one game, I think earlier?
He missed 2.
He may have missed 2, but still, I think your point is well taken. He doesn't have the ball thrown to him. We've talked about this a lot, too, with Corey Davis. He doesn't get targeted that much. He's only got 48 targets this year, and, of course, he missed a couple of games, too.
Yeah, and the funny thing, I'm glad you brought up Corey Davis. Everybody was dogging him last year, and even myself. Oh, he's not catching the ball. He's not this. He doesn't put up the numbers. But you have to get targets. I mean, look at the first couple of games that he played when he came back off his injury. He caught like 2 crossing routes. Oh, Corey Davis is back. Oh, he's the number one wide receiver. And I'm like, would y'all stop it? I mean, a number one wide receiver number one, is going to get targets and he's going to make plays at the right time. That's what I think an elite receiver is.
And we talked to the guy that has created Football Outsiders in the last hour, and they look at efficiency. And what's interesting is based on – you can only be as efficient. Mm-hmm. Like you said, Chris, if you only had three targets but you caught all three, that's as efficient as you could be.
Yeah.
So A.J. Brown and Corey Davis have been very efficient alongside of DeAndre Hopkins. It's just that Hopkins gets the ball thrown to him a lot more. So it's one way of looking at it for sure.
And let me give you another example, and I'm going to be quick. When Kevin Dyson and Randy Moss came in, right, two separate teams. When Kevin Dyson came with the Tennessee Oilers and / Tennessee Titans, same team, he wasn't getting a whole bunch of targets, but Randy Moss was. Now everybody's screaming and said, oh, they should have got Randy Moss and instead of Kevin Dyson. What if Randy Moss would have came to the Tennessee Titans and Kevin Dyson would have went to the Minnesota Vikings?
Yeah.
Do you think he would have had the different numbers because of the
systems
type of
were different?
Yeah,
yeah.
Systems were different.
It would have been different. I don't know how different, but it would have been it definitely would have been different. That's a good point. All right, now I do want to ask you about the last play because, Chris, we remember, we're going to give you props. You could go up and high point the ball. That's the term. You could go up and get it on a long pass.
Mm-hmm.
But have you ever seen a guy do what Hopkins did on that last play where he had three guys around him? I've never seen a guy snatch one with six arms going after him, and he caught it so clean. He didn't have to wrestle it away. He just went up and snatched it. Have you ever seen anything like that?
Yes, I did. I think it was maybe about 2 or 3 years ago when the Green Bay Packers were on Monday night, I think.
Yep.
And what was the – I can't remember the receiver's name.
You're talking about Green Bay in Seattle?
Green Bay in Seattle. Where he went when he went up and snatched it. Not the one where it fell on him. It was another one where he went high up and grabbed it. Can y'all remember that one?
I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, but
it was
3 or 4 years ago. I just can't remember the receiver's name, but yeah, I saw him go up and get it. But then there's another guy in 1995, then they played against the Kansas City Chiefs. Instead of six arms, there was maybe five arms around it, and he went up and got it. It was number 81, Chris Sanders.
I'm going to give you props. You could do it. There's no question. The vertical was there.
It was a little bit.
What about the throw by Kyler Murray, too? Running towards the sideline, he's going against the grain, throws it back. And he throws it 55 yards. That was impressive, too.
It really was. But the one thing I just love about the whole play is just his will to just get the ball off. I mean, people don't understand how hard a throw that is. I mean, he's running and scrambling, and then he's running to the left, and then he just throws the ball hard as he can to throw it up to where Hopkins can make a play. I mean, I just love the kid's grittiness. I just love his heart, and I just love his passion to say, you know, whatever it takes – to get my receiver the ball, that's what I'm going to do, and it just that's why this kid is so special, and I just can't wait to watch him more and more.
Were you talking about the Monday Night Football game?
It was a Thursday night game.
Was
in
it Thursday?
Detroit.
Oh, so this was not the one where the replacement refs?
No, not that one.
The Golden Tate game. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. Remember
Richard Rodgers?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And he throws it up, and I can't remember. I think it was number 80. I can't remember, but he jumped up and just grabbed it from everybody, Rodgers is running down the field going crazy.
Okay, that was the Lions.
It was against the Lions. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he went up and got that thing. That was one of the ones that was really impressive. Okay.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver, is here with us. So I want to ask, because I think you and I have had this discussion before, whether it's on or off the air, but we all know that there's a lot of noise when you do what you do, when you play. And there's a lot of noise right now with the Titans in defense. Oh, they don't have a pass rush. Oh, their secondary is not very good. And you can't for a second tell me that these guys, they don't hear it. They don't see it. They're all, you know, they're on Twitter. But what do you do with it? How do you use it to your advantage? And how do you try, I guess, to block it out the best that you can?
You know, we when I first got in the NFL, 1995 till 1998, until we moved into the stadium, that's all we heard. We didn't have a defense. We don't have an offense. Steve McNair can't read coverages. Eddie George is going to wear down. We heard all these things. But the one thing we did is on Monday when we showed up to practice, we just worked. And I know that sounds cliche-ish or coach talk, but that's all we did is, you know, Eddie George had to believe in me. I had to believe in Eddie George. Steve had to believe in Eddie. He had to believe in the offensive line, Bruce Matthews, Brad Hopkins, guys that just loved each other in the locker room. And that's how we overcame all that noise. We had noise the whole time I was in the NFL, even when we moved into our stadium, Steve McNair can't do this, and you know Eddie Jordan's going to wear it, and all this noise that we heard. But what we did is on Monday we grinded. On Tuesday we watch film. On Wednesday we grind. On Thursday we grind. And then on Sunday we show up and play the game. And that's all you can do. And it starts with the leadership of Mike Vrabel. And that's exactly what Mike Vrabel's doing is, I'm not going to make an excuse for our defense. I'm not going to make excuses for our special teams. I'm not going to make excuses if we don't have a certain people in there. We're going to go, we're going to grind, and we're going to eliminate the noise and say, you know what, we're going to play balls between these hashes. And that's how you handle it.
Do you think this team has a confidence problem?
No, I don't think they have a confidence problem. I think on defense they have a personnel problem. And I'm being fair when I say that. And the personnel problem is, I think, the secondary. You got a lot of secondary guys playing in the back end, the corners and safeties, but you don't have a lot of speed. I mean, each week you're going against I'm not saying elite receivers, but you're going against receivers that have a lot of speed. And, yeah, we can cover intermediate routes and the slants and the corners and the digs, but you can't cover the post and the nine routes and the fades. That's going to be a problem because offensive coordinators are going to see, okay, Butler doesn't have the speed. Adore's not out there. You got guys that are coming from different teams and they're not working in unison. I'm going to take advantage of that.
How much do you think that Desmond King has helped in his 2 weeks that he's been here?
I mean, he's been okay. I know the first game he came, he scoop and score. That's great. But when you start playing these teams where he's going to have to cover, I think we're going to see if this is a good pickup or not. I mean, I really haven't seen him that much. I went back and looked at some video of him in San Diego. He's one of those guys that's kind of like Logan that's going to blitz, you know, in the boundary and put pressure on the quarterback. But I haven't seen him really cover anybody because in 2017, I think, he had zero interceptions. I think in 2018, he had three. 2019, he had one. So I don't know if this guy can cover. I know he can blitz. I know he's physical. But I want to see if he can cover those tight ends and those receivers.
Chris/Dwayne, we really enjoyed the visit. Thank
man,
you
I love
so
you guys,
much.
Man. Oh, man, you guys are awesome, man. Thank you.
Group hug. On three, ready, break. Good stuff. We'll talk to you on Thursday. Let you gloat.
Thanks, guys.
Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver. Good stuff from him, as always. I told you I'd been talking to people about Theo Epstein. We'll tell you what he's up to because Bob Nightingale has tweeted out what he may be up to. But we're also going to come back and have our top 10 list, okay? We are going to go on the premise that Kansas City and Pittsburgh are the two best teams in the league, okay? We're going on that, and then we're going to do 3 through 10 today. What does it look like? We will unveil our list. How close are we? How not close are we? Are the Titans in that top 10 list? Well, Chase has kind of already let the cat out of the bag on his list earlier, but he has admitted to us privately that he's been making a lot of changes. During the course of the show, has he slid them back up into his top 10? I don't know. We'll do that on the other side. But right now I want to talk to you about week 10 of football is in the books now, officially. That book is closed with the Bears' pathetic performance last night against the Vikings, and now it's time to focus on week 11. There's no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. You need to add the excitement of Week 11 by going to the DraftKings Sportsbook, and they are going to give you that can't-miss offer. Yes, it's going to be back there at DraftKings Sportsbook. All you need to do is go to the App Store, download it. It's free and easy to do, and they're going to give all new users a chance to earn a sign-up bonus up to $1,000 when you sign up and use the promo code 1025GAME. That's DraftKings Sportsbook. Endless ways for you to bet, from the live betting to betting on your favorite players. They do it all. Don't worry. Football isn't for you. DraftKings is going to give all MMA fans a chance to sign up now and a chance to triple your winnings with any bet placed on UFC 255. DraftKings is safe, reliable, and secure, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. You can download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the promo code 1025GAME when you sign up and get up to $1,000. that code 1025 the game and get a deposit bonus up to $1,000 for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and needs help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.